Well, good morning, everybody. It is warm today, so don't fall asleep on me. How can we when there's only one row of people? Oh, man. So for the last couple of weeks, we have been teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the importance of it in our lives, and especially in these days that we are living in, I believe we need to be ready for whatever comes down the pipe next, because there are some things happening and we're hearing about that are almost unbelievable. And so I believe we need to be ready in this ever-changing world in which we live in, and because it's changing so rapidly, there's no time to play catch-up. You know, things are happening. We never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I know that if we're not prepared, it's like anything. If something is going to happen to you suddenly, you know, you become overwhelmed. You become stressed. And, you know, even in our everyday lives, to be prepared, you know, is a good thing. And then when, you know, something or someone unexpectedly shows up at your door, you feel, you know, you're not like panicking and fear sets in and so on. And so I believe we're living in days like that. God does not want his people to be panicking. He does not want them to be afraid as they look out and see what's the changes that are coming on the world. And but he wants us to be aware of them, but to be wise, okay? And especially with the young people. I mean, if the Lord tarries, you know, they definitely are the ones, I believe, that are going to be going through a lot of things. And they need to be prepared for what is ahead in this world. And but God ultimately wants all of us strong, the whole body of Christ at this hour. And no matter what the world is telling us, no matter what crazy new thing they're throwing at us, or no matter what they believe to be truth, we must stand strong in our God and his word, which is the only truth. We need to stand strong. Now, you may not see the importance of it, especially the young people, but it's going to be very important. So in light of all of this, I spoke last week from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, where Paul says to Timothy, who he has raised up in the faith as a pastor over the church, he says, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Now, I spoke, taught a little bit from here. I said the word stir up that gift means to fan it into flame. You know, like when you make a fire and it's kind of starting to go out, you kind of relight the embers, you fan the fire into a flame. And how do we do this? I said last week or the week before, I guess it was last week, I said that we do this by praying with our prayer language in the Spirit. Last week I used the expression of charging yourself up. Charge up yourself by praying in the Spirit. It's almost like a battery. But it's really, in another way of putting it, it's really God's way for you and I to stay connected to the spiritual world. And I know that in my own personal life, and I've been a Christian for many years, there has never been a time in my life, ever, in the last 45 years, where I have felt this urgency on the inside of me to stay connected, to see, to know what is God doing, what's happening, where are we supposed to be at this hour. There's a real urgency to stay connected and to stay connected to the spirit world, because the spirit world is ultimately the real world. And everything that we see in this world was created by the Spirit. Okay, so that's the real world. And this world is passing away. So let's not stay so connected with this world. Yes, it's important that we know what's going on. I don't think that we should be ignorant of it. But not to be just so focused on it and, you know, and spending all of your energy trying to change it. No, keep your eyes above. Jesus even said, when you see these things start to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Okay? And so I said the words, to fan into flame means to pray in the Spirit. So God, it's God's way for us to stay more connected to the reality of his kingdom, not so much to the reality of this world. And there's times in your life, believe me, where you're going to need to be more connected to the spirit world than you are to the natural world. Ultimately, our Heavenly Father wants His children to go through this time being very, very strong in the faith. Be strong in your faith. Jude 20 says this, and we looked at this scripture before, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You know, God looks at your faith as most holy, praying in the Holy Spirit. Why does God want us strong? Why is it so important for God at this hour to see the bride of Christ be strong so that He can work through us? We know that there's the glory of the Lord is going to be rising upon you, upon me. What is this glory? It's just the manifest goodness of God. You know, it's the miraculous things happening in your life that there's no other explanation for. God wants to use you at this last time because this is the last call to show the world around you that God is real. And not only is He real, but He's good. And so He has specifically designed each and every one of us in our lives to be used by Him to show forth not your glory because you're so good, but His glory, His goodness. So He needs us to be strong in Him in these last days so He can work through us. Bring those good things into your life that He's always wanted to bring. Bring to pass the things He has even predestined you for from the time you were little. I believe the time is running out, and God wants His glory to be seen like never before in the church. God wants to stir you up on the inside, things that He's shown you for your life, dreams that you've thrown off the shelf. Those things, what God has begun in you, listen closely, He's going to finish. If He has called you for something, He's going to do it. And we need to allow ourselves to be strong and be connected to that so that He can bear witness, so that the Holy Spirit can bear witness with our hearts, this is truly God. So He wants to touch those areas that we've just settled. Seriously, we've settled because the world has made it easy for us to settle. Yeah, I can live with this. But I believe this shaking that's going on, He is shaking us and bringing us to a place where I cannot live this way anymore. I cannot. You know, for so long, it's like, yeah, you know, I can put up with it. And all of a sudden, you can't anymore. And it's like, okay, what is happening? But God is stripping away everything. That's why He's shaking up this world till He gets you to the place where there's nowhere else to turn but Him. And now He can finally start to move and work in your life the way He's always wanted to. Is when we come completely, completely dependent on Him. So He wants us to walk by faith like never before. You know, there's something about faith. God loves faith. And there's just something about someone who truly walks in faith. God will skip over hundreds and the masses to get to that one who has faith, real faith. Did you know that? And ask yourself, do I want to get God's attention in my life? Do you want to get God's attention? Just start being a person of faith. You will get His attention real quick. Remember that question that Jesus asked His disciples? I didn't look it up. I'm not even sure which gospel it's written in. Where He said, when I return to the earth, am I going to find faith? Isn't that funny? That's what He asked. He didn't ask, am I going to find this or that, but faith. Is there going to be men of faith when I come back? Faith is so important. That's why the Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. So if we want to get God's attention big time, we need to use faith. And the bigger the thing you're believing Him for, the more excited God gets over you. The more excited. So you want to get His attention in your life? Just start living by faith. You know, mankind in general strives so hard to accomplish big things in life. I've spoken this before. To make a name for himself. You know, I want to be, you might be in sports and you might, or the Olympics possibly, and your whole goal and your whole being is to press after that medal, that gold medal. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, you know, but It's really vanity at the end of the day. You can't take that gold medal with you, nor is it recognized in heaven. You know, we want to leave behind a legacy, but if it's not done in faith for the glory of Jesus, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. God doesn't even notice it. And you might think, wow, look at this company I built. Look at this invention I came up with. But if it was all you, then all glory goes to you and none goes to God. And remember, in heaven, there is no hall of fame. There's only a hall of faith. In heaven, it's those who live by faith. Those are the ones that are going to be cheered on. And it's not going to be those who maybe have accomplished great things. It might be that person who just simply, quietly, every day, lived by faith. They're the ones that are going to be like our Wayne Gretzky's and our, I don't know, name all these famous people who we can get all excited about. Pay hundreds of dollars, thousands maybe, to see them in concert or whatever. That's the world. But in heaven, it's going to be those who walk by faith. And there will be a display of that. And so you be one of them, especially as young people. You be someone. You rack up treasures in heaven, because there's coming a day, and I believe it's very soon, when the rewards will be given out, and they'll be given out to those who lived by faith. Those who lived by faith. You see, the enemy has come in and made us think that this life is about everything that we do. Okay? And we examine ourselves and we view ourselves as either being in the plus or the negative according to our performance. That's not how God sees you. God views you in the pluses and negative according to your faith. It's all about faith. And so that leaves nobody exempt. Everybody that knows Jesus, everybody that has Jesus Christ in them, can live by faith. It's not a matter of, well, someday when I, you know, get it all together and I feel like, you know, then I'm going to reach out and start living by faith. No. Now. Faith is always now. Today. But it's hard to live by faith when we feel disconnected from the spirit world. When your world around you seems more real than heaven or the kingdom of God, then it's very difficult to live by faith, because your mind and your focus isn't on the kingdom of God. It's on the things of the world. And so if the things of the world are going great, well, that's good. But what happens when they go south? Now you're really depressed. Now you're really down. You've lost your connection with the kingdom of God. And that's where praying in the Spirit keeps you connected to the real life, the things that are really important in this world. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Those are the three things that we're going to need to interact and that are going to become so important in these last days. A sound mind. What is a sound mind? A mind that is not easily swayed. Okay? A mind that is set on the Word of God and on the truth. Today, the enemy is, we're seeing people that were maybe one way in their thinking or their believing, and all of a sudden they're just turned like 100 degrees, and you think, what? I know that person used to believe this way. Now they believe that way. God has said, no, the spirit I've given you is not a spirit of back and forth, wishy-washy. One day it's this, one day it's that. No, you look neither to the left nor to the right. You keep your eyes ahead, straight ahead, grounded on the pillar of His truth, His word. We do not deviate from that, no matter what the world tells us, no matter what they think they can prove to us about our God. We know, because the spirit of truth lives in us and He keeps us grounded in our minds. I am not going to believe that Jesus is not the Messiah. I am not going to believe that we've been believing in vain all along. The world is trying to fit us into their mold in these last days. It's all about stealing the Word of God, taking and twisting the truth. That's what this is about. And in the last days, people are going to be deceived. And because they did not love the truth, which is Jesus Christ, being our Messiah, sent by God the Father, because they don't love that truth. The Bible says God is going to send them a strong spirit of disillusion. And we can see that happening. People are believing stuff that you just cannot. It doesn't even practically make sense. It's totally opposite of science even. And so you wonder, how can this be? Are they just lying and thinking that we're so stupid that we're going to believe these lies? Well, obviously, maybe some people. But honestly, unless God would send a spirit of delusion, how else could you believe a lie like that? And so God needs us to be strong in his word. Know what the word of God says. So that, you know what, if you know the truth, how can somebody lie to you? And if you're convinced that that's your truth, then no matter what they say, you know. And you have the Holy Spirit in you that bears witness because he is the truth. Okay, so we need to be very strong. That's what a sound mind is. A mind that's not swayed back and forth one day and every little thing it hears, it gets all, you know, fearful and, oh my goodness, what if famine comes? No, the Bible says, my God shall supply my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm not going to starve. And neither are you. But you need to be of a sound mind. Don't be easily swayed and fearful. Okay? And that's not the spirit that God has given us. Now, I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, verse 20. I taught this at a wedding, actually, this week. Some of it, anyways. And I just felt it was good, what the Lord had given me, and it really has pertains to what I'm speaking about this morning. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we're going to end. This is where I want to end, but we're going to go back and see what this means. But it says there, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now God is able now. Okay, so how many of us want God to do in our lives even above what we could ask or even think? See, that's what I'm saying. God has a plan for you that you can't even go there. It's so beyond anything you could even imagine for yourself. That's how much God loves you. That's how much it's amazing. All these billions of people, and yet God can take one life and he knows everything about that one life. There's not a cell in your body, Shelby, that changes, dies, or whatever, that he doesn't know about. Not one hair, and you know how many hair we lose, falls out of your head, and he already knows it. That, to me, is mind-boggling in and of itself, even if he never, ever did anything. It was like the fact that he knows those things, and about every person. And so each person was specifically designed by him. And what he's saying is, I have called you, I have made you. And that deepest part of your heart, which you maybe not even recognize it, is crying out for that connection. And when you feel that, when you get that connection, now you know you are complete. You've come home. You've arrived. You've arrived. And in this life, we're confused. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we don't know what to think. But ultimately, God has created you for him. And so he knows every detail about your life, about you. He knows the good and the bad, and he still loves you with a love that we cannot even understand. And I'm speaking that to the young people because I believe they need to be so strong in who they are as we go forward. God is really going to use young people. I know it. They're going to have no religious background. They're going to be free from the things that held us back. And they're just going to go all the way in the Lord. And so I'm speaking specifically right now for young people. I mean, it's for all of us, right? But I know that the Lord has a special place for all these young people today. So now God is able. Let's back up again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or even think, according to this power which works in us. Why the word now? Why is that word there? Now unto him who's able. Now always brings things into the present tense, right? Now. Now is now. Real faith is also now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith. Now faith. When you take the now away, it's not faith. Okay? Now faith is the substance of the thing that you've hoped for, the evidence of the thing not seen. God is not able to work apart, to work in us apart from what? What can he not, unless you have something, he can't work in your life. Faith, right? It's by faith that you got saved. It's by faith, faith, faith. All right? So God is not able to work in us apart from our faith. Now let's go back and let's study this again in Ephesians chapter 3 and find out what it says previously to lead up to the word now unto him who is able. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches and glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him that is able." So if you go back to verse 18 in this passage, the Apostle Paul prays that you may be able, that you may be able to comprehend what? The length, breadth, height, depth of his, of the love of Christ, a love that goes beyond mere knowledge of it. The word comprehend means to perceive and seize upon. Perceive, to see it and seize it. Or that's another way we say receive. And I said this, when we are able, God is able. When we are able to do what? There's two ables there. When we are able to comprehend, to perceive the love of God, its length, its depth, its height, and its breadth. Now, God is able. It does not say, and this is what I said at the wedding, I said, sometimes it's better for you to see it from a point of view from that it does not say. It does not say, now unto him who gets it all right, who lives his life perfectly, da 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 da, then God is able. Because if you ask most people why God blesses some and not others, they say, well, God blesses good people. God's blessing is on good people, people who obey him. That is normal. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't want us to obey him. I'm not saying any of that. But that is not God's reason for blessing you. God blesses you because the blessing is in Jesus. He's blessed Jesus with every gift, and you're in Jesus. So you are partakers, you're joint heirs, joint inheritors with Jesus. Do you understand? It has nothing to do with your goodness, but it has everything to do with you comprehending and perceiving how good God really is. So it doesn't come through striving for it or trying to earn it. It says, it comes through verse 19, which says, knowing the love of Christ, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Christ. Now that word fullness means to be replete. And the Lord showed me this word in my prayer time. Actually, the Holy Spirit spoke it in my heart. I don't ever use that word. I didn't even really know what it meant. And he just simply said to me, you are replete in Christ. I'm thinking, replete? Replete. I had to go look it up and study the word. That's how you know God's speaking to you. Because words will come into your heart that you don't even really know. And you know darn well you don't use that word. And you think, okay, this isn't my own mind speaking to me. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. At least that's what he does with me. That's how he works with me. So it means to be replete. And if you go to chapter 4 of Ephesians and read verses 9 and 10, it says here, now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended? Into the lower parts of the earth. The depth of his love. Remember, it says to know the height. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is the same word, fill. It means finish. It means restore. It means replete. You see, all things have been finished, restored, repleted. Might, may not look like it in the natural, but Jesus, he went to the lowest hell, and then he went to the highest heaven. What was he doing? He was filling, fulfilling all things, restoring all things. All things had been contaminated by the devil, and he was giving it all back. He, you know, there was so much he did at the cross that we just think, oh yeah, he died for my sins. Oh no, no, no. There's so, I mean, yes, he did, but there's so much more. And that's the height, the breadth, the length, and the depth of God's love for you. And you, when you begin to study his word and really comprehend what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you at the cross, that's when you can get really excited and you think, wow. I mean, nothing was left out. If God says you are replete, if you are complete of his fullness, same word, we have all received the fullness of Christ. As a man, he became like us, right? As a man, he took back everything that we could not, because we couldn't keep the law. He took back everything from the enemy. He fixed everything. I'm trying to put words in there that we understand. He brought everything back to fullness again, to completion, that the enemy destroyed, perverted, or even stole from us. It's all been completed in Christ. And this is God's love for us revealed through the work, through what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Not only his suffering, which was a big part of it, but through all of the little things, that the details that he did. And the only way you can really discover some of these is to go back into the Old Covenant and read about the sacrifices. And you will see how detailed the sacrifices were. Why? Because every sacrifice represented another aspect of what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. And so many people just kind of like, they don't study that because it's boring. You know, you bring a lamb and the lamb has to be this way and that way, and this is how you kill it, and this is what is offered with it. And it just goes on and on and on, and you think, whoa, what has this got to do with anything? Well, it's for the serious student who wants to really know the length, the depth, the height, and the breadth of God's love for his people. And it's God's love for us revealed. Those who are able to comprehend the love of Christ. It's length, breadth, height, and depth. It's that love revealed that makes us able to receive. Many times, you know, we want to get offended with God. You know, bad things happen to good people. And we, you know, God's heart, I always say this to people, if God could have, he would have. We disable. God is able when we are able. Do you understand? And so it's not that, you know, I don't like to say to people, well, you just didn't have the faith. But I believe we are so lacking in the revelation of the love of God. And I believe it's that revelation in these end days that is going to usher in the glory of God like never before. We're going to be able to believe God for things that we would have never been able to believe God for. That love is so powerful. Galatians 5:6 tells us, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. For your faith works by love. Not your love, his love. You know, the more you know somebody loves you, the more you trust them, right? You know, Dominic, your dad on purpose would never hurt you. And that trust took years, the bonds, and you know, we trust people that we know truly love us and have our best interests at heart. But if we don't believe they love us or care for us or are kind of doing it for any other reason, we rebel. We think, no, he doesn't care about me. All he cares about is getting his way or whatever. But when you know this kind of love, it's so much easier for us to just give it all up and receive. And so this is vitally important at this hour. So the million-dollar question here this morning is this. We can't see God, can't pick up the phone and have a little conversation with him. We can't go for tea tomorrow morning. We can't hear his voice normally. I mean, he can make it be heard, but we normally can't hear it with our audible hearing, can't see with our natural eyes, nor can we touch him. So how do we acquire this love? How do we get this love? How do we get to know it to the point where it'll transform you, and not only you, but everybody around you? Because if you go, well, it's by the Spirit. Sorry, I was going to go back and do another scripture, but it's all by the Spirit that we get to know this love. And if you go back to verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3, which we just read, verse 16, it says that the Apostle Paul prays that he would grant you according. Now, the word according always means to the measure of. The riches of his glory. What is the riches of his glory? The riches of his goodness. I mean, how rich is God in his goodness? Look to the cross and you will see how rich God is in his goodness towards us. Okay, that he would grant you according to the riches of the glory to be strengthened. Now this word strengthened means to empower you, to be empowered with might. Might is the word dunamai. Dunamai, I guess is how you pronounce it, where we get the word dynamite. And dynamite from which means miracle working power. Okay, that's how the definition is given. So that we might be empowered with miracle working power. How? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. How? By his Spirit. And hope maketh not ashamed. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Hope maketh not ashamed. What does that mean? Because God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. If you have Christ in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. And when he came in you, he brought the love of God with him. And it was shed abroad in your hearts. You've maybe never experienced it, didn't even know about it. But if you are a child of God, it is there. And it tells us that hope maketh not ashamed because. So hope means a confident expectation of good things happening. Okay? A confident expectation of the good happening. His good. Maketh not ashamed. What does that mean? It means, that if you look up the word ashamed, it means disappoint. It will never disappoint you. Okay? Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. If you know the love of God, even the things, the good things that you are hoping for, a confident expectation of goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life, you will not be disappointed in that. Why? Because you know the love of God, and you know God loves me. And if I, being evil, know how to be good to my children, and I would protect them and make sure that they are supplied with all that they need, how much more our God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, how much more is he going to look after us? But it all begins with love. Know that love for you. Know that love. So I said all that to say this. Fanning into flame this gift of the Spirit, which is the praying, when we pray in the Spirit, we'll take what is already shed abroad in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, okay? Because he's not referring here to him getting saved. He's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, fan it into flame. When you fan that into flame, it takes what's already on the inside of you, and now it becomes your reality. The Holy Spirit, he begins to show you. He begins to make it real to you, even in a physical way sometimes, the love of God. It's physical. It can be. I mean, don't look for the physical, but we know that God manifests himself even to our natural body. We feel him on ourselves. Many times, even this morning, was as we were singing, I could feel the Holy Spirit on me. I could feel that presence on my body. And, you know, it's just a nice, it's not what we're after, but it is a nice benefit that God allows us. It's like he's kissing you or hugging you. I guess it's like the Holy Spirit's giving you a big hug, right? and you feel it. So when you fan into flame the gift that's in you, what already is on the inside of you, which is eternal life, which is all the things God gave you through Christ, it now begins to manifest upon you and in your natural life. You begin to have a much, how could I say, you maybe don't understand why, because the love of Christ, we just read, goes beyond natural knowledge. Okay, you can know, oh, God loves me, God loves me, but you can never experience that. God wants you to know. The word know is to be intimate with it. Just like a husband and wife are intimate. The Bible talks about how Adam knew Eve. That's intimacy. That's knowing her in a very special way. God wants to be intimate with you. He wants you to know him in a very special way. And in Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, 14, we're going to close with this scripture, that he's speaking about, don't be sad because I'm leaving. I'm going to send another comforter. He will remain and abide with you forever. And in verse 14, excuse me, of John chapter 16, Jesus tells the disciples, he will glorify me, for he will receive of mine, and he will show it unto you. He will take the love that I have for you, and he will show it unto you. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and show the things that are of me unto you. He's going to reveal to you how God sees you. He's going to reveal the love of God for you and who you now are in Christ. So the Holy Spirit is more than just a gift that we want to use when we want to pray for someone who's sick. He's so much more. He works in every area of our lives. He reveals God's love to us. And so ask the Father, show me your heart, Lord. Show me, God. Show me your love in a very real way so that I can receive, so that you are able to do all these great things in my life. Because I want the best. I want my inheritance. I don't know about you. I want my inheritance. If Jesus died to give me health, I want it. If he died to give me prosperity, then I want it. I want what Jesus died to give me. I don't want his sacrifice to be in vain in my life. That's always been something I've spoken to the Lord in my prayer time. Don't let anything Jesus died to give me be in vain, that he died, at least in my case, for nothing, because I never ever received it. But the key is the love. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, I believe, says, after talking, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. Love is long-suffering, love is this, love is that. But in 14, verse 1, it says, therefore, seek to acquire. I'm taking this from the Amplified, okay, the ladies' version. Seek to acquire. Make this love your great quest of life. And if we would do that, God would be able to do in your life so far above anything you could ever ask or think. And you would live the best life that you can this side of heaven. Amen? Amen. We're going to close with communion.